obviously pickleball is big amongst us,
like
the Weekend Warriors.
The Weekend Warriors. we just learned we're Weekend Warriors over here. So.
Yeah, we think we're the best players on the court until we actually play someone that's good, and then we realize we stink. That happened to me really early in the game where me and my boys were playing and we thought we were the best pickleball players because we were beating our boys, right? And then we're like, you know what? Let's go sign up for like the little weekend tournament they got here. First game lost 11-0. Second game lost like 10-2 or 11-2. Third game like 11-3. And I think our closest game was 11-6. Got completely swept. Didn't win one game. We were struggling the whole time. Didn't understand the concept of like the kitchen and playing up there. We were playing back. We got humbled quick. So you probably see, God knows what you see. You see it all. What's your thoughts on the Weekend Warriors out there?
I enjoy it, man. I love showing up to a park on like a day off, and I want to go play with guys. And I remember actually one time I went to Miami Beach and I saw these guys on what's called the challenge court. And they were just beating up on everybody, on the old people. And I step in with a girl and they're like, are you sure you want to step on this court? And at that point I was already playing 5-0. They're like, oh, this is for advanced. I was like, okay, that's fine. I mean, we ended up piggling them 11-0, but.
So crazy how fast it happens.
Yeah.
Guys, it's Daniel, aka Pooch, taking a break from behind the camera to let you know that this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp, a completely online therapy service designed and suited to all your individual needs. Sometimes things that stay tranquilo can get a little stressful, and we've had our fair share of challenges that we have to get through. And the possibility of having a therapist in our corner can be that factor that gives us a drive, motivation, and determination to keep bringing our vision to life and sharing what we create with all of you. So if you think a therapist might bring you those same benefits, give BetterHelp a try. Just fill out a brief questionnaire on their website and get matched with a licensed therapist today. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/tranquilo to get 10% off your first month today. That's BetterHelp, HELP/tranquilo. And now let's get back to our regular scheduled program.
All right, what is up, everybody? We are here. We're doing the Stay Tranquilo pod today. We got Mario in the building. We're here at Vic Studios, and we are going to do a really fun pod today that I'm excited about. Mario is a professional pickleball player, so we're going to talk about everything pickleball today. But we're also going to get into a little bit about Mario's life, the mindset that goes into being a pickleball player, how the game's kind of evolved, and it'll be a fun pod today. So we're definitely excited, and thanks for coming on today.
No, thank you for having me. Beautiful studio, great company.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Vinas, for putting this together. Shout out to Vinas. So we're gonna start all the way from the beginning.
Okay.
And Dave, obviously, please chime in.
Listen, for Stay Tranquilo.
Yeah,
I'm usually on the sports side. We're bringing it together today. But
bringing it all together, but. Let's start from the beginning with you and kind of like, how did you get into becoming a professional pickleball player? Like, when did that start for you? What was the thought process of even deciding to do this? Like, how did this all begin for you?
So when I started playing pickleball, I just started playing it at a rec level. I used to just go with friends, family, and then I played my first ever tournament at the 3-0 level and I won it. And then I gradually started competing up the ranks, 3-5, 4-0, up until eventually last year I competed in the Men's US Open in Naples, Florida, and I won the men's 5.0 level and then the mixed. And then I said, well, I'm done playing amateur at this time. And then I started taking my pickleball training a little more seriously and then just decided to throw myself out there and play pro.
So basically it was just something that you were playing for fun and then essentially was like, I'm good at this, I'm gonna go to the pro level.
Yeah, I realized that I was a little better than the average 7-year-old at the park. And then, you know, I realized that I had all the skills. I was fast, I was agile. I have quick hands, which came from baseball.
Okay.
And then, you know, I just started drilling a little more, taking my practice a little more serious, and then started playing in the pro events.
Nice. So your background is baseball?
Background in baseball. I grew
no
up
tennis,
here,
nothing like that?
Never played any racket sports, no.
Okay.
Interesting. That was actually my first question. Yeah. Like how, what sport was the kind of what got you into it? But yeah. Baseball, yeah. Tell us a little bit about that. Like how does that, how does baseball, I mean, obviously, you know, swing motion,
the
but
hand
like,
eye.
How does
hand
it translate?
Eye.
Yeah.
So I've always said that if you don't come from any racket sport and pickleball, the best sport that translates into it is baseball.
Nice.
Because of the hand eye coordination, you know, with the footwork, fielding. You know, I was in high school hitting as guys that were throwing 85, 90 miles an hour. So, you know, the pickleball coming at me is not a very fast object
right.
compared to a baseball. Mm. So, you know, pickleball is a very, especially in doubles, it's a very fast-paced game. So if you have the hand eye and the hand speed, you should do pretty well.
Right. So obviously pickleball is big amongst us, no, the weekend warriors.
The weekend warriors. The weekend warriors. We just learned we're weekend warriors over here. So.
Yeah, we think we're the best players on the court until we actually play someone that's good and then we realize we stink. That happened to me really early in the game where me and my boys were playing and we thought we were the best pickleball players because we were beating our boys, right? And then we're like, you know what? Let's go sign up for like the little weekend tournament they got here. First game lost 11-0. Second game lost like 11-2. Third game like 11-3. And I think our closest game was 11-6. Got completely swept. Didn't win one game. We were struggling the whole time. Didn't understand the concept of like the kitchen and playing up there. We were playing back. We got humbled quick. So you probably see, God knows what you see. You see it all. What's your thoughts on the weekend warriors out there?
I enjoy it, man. I love showing up to a park on like a day off and I want to go play with guys. And I remember actually one time I went to Miami Beach and I saw these guys on what's called the challenge court. And they were just beating up on everybody, on the old people. And I step in with a girl and they're like, are you sure you want to step on this court? And at that point I was already playing 5-0. They're like, oh, this is for advanced. I was like, okay, that's fine. I mean, we ended up piggling them 11-0. But
so crazy how fast it happens.
Yeah. But this is fun, man. I love those guys that go out there. And I was at Miami Dade the other day, and these guys were like screaming at each other, like, don't take my ball. And I was just.
It gets heated.
It gets heated. It does, I love to see it. It's fun.
Yeah. So you mentioned like on your days off, like, how often are you in training? Like how, you know, on let's say the weekly basis, like how often are you training? Like what does your training look like?
So I train Monday through Friday. I wake up every day at 6 a.m. Nice. I go to a Lifetime Fitness, so I'll do an hour of pickleball there as they have indoor courts.
So you're playing actual pickleball?
Training. Okay. Just instead of playing rec with four people, I'll play with Brooke Revolta, who is also a local pickleball pro.
Okay.
We'll train for an entire hour just doing drills. And then the second hour, I'll do physical training. And then I'll do 30 minutes of recovery. So I'll go in the sauna, I'll do the cold plunge, I'll do stretching, which is extremely important, especially if you want to avoid injuries, as we know that there's a lot of injuries with pickleballs on the rise. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is something. I had a pickleball injury.
I literally pointed right at you.
I'm one of those victims. And I think it was like a wear and tear thing. You know, I wasn't doing the recovery probably as much as I should. I was already very active to begin with. At that time I was running like, I think 30 miles a week on top of playing pickleball two times a week. So I just think it was like the impact and probably not using the right shoes. I mean, God knows what it was. But that day I'll never forget. Like I wasn't even feeling good going into it. And boom, 10 minutes in on the floor, like in pain and find out that the foot doctor's like, yeah, we're getting injuries all the time for pickleball. I mean, like, doesn't matter the age. I mean, older guys for sure. But you're getting all ages getting hurt. What is it about the sport that you think like causes the injuries? Obviously, I think the repetitive motion with the shoulders is one of those things. But what are some of the other?
Yeah, that's just not a natural motion for the human body as it is with baseball. If you don't go and stretch for at least 7 minutes, if you're not running around, if you're not stretching properly, an injury is going to be happening at some point.
Yeah.
So I always recommend that you wear tennis shoes, not just regular sneakers, and stretch and run. Yeah, you can't go in a court and not and just go all in at 1,000 miles an hour without properly stretching your body.
That's what I was doing, and it didn't work for me.
I'm the opposite. I'm usually the guy. I'll do like a one.
Everyone
minute.
Goes like in ice cold, touch, and I'm like, you guys aren't gonna stretch before. Good. Like this is gonna, I'm gonna get hurt if I do that.
Yeah,
I do that with everything, even golf. Like I play a lot of golf. I can't just like go up there and like I gotta stretch. Yeah. My body's like ice cold. I'm like I gotta. to a little bit of like a dynamic warm-up, get the rotation in, like, I don't know.
The doctors will probably tell you otherwise. They're making a crap ton of money off of these injuries.
And the PT guys.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, so when you're playing, like, do you, whether it's, you know, I guess, whether it's practicing or, like, do you prefer playing singles or doubles? Is there, like, a, do you have a preference?
So I'm not a huge singles guy.
Okay. Is singles even really a thing in pickleball?
Oh, it is.
It is? Okay. Yeah.
So every good tennis player, the way that they make their transition into pickleball and getting their name out there is actually singles, because it's a lot easier for them to do well in singles than it is in doubles. I haven't really practiced it much because, I mean, I'm a small guy. And yes, it's a much smaller court, but you still need court coverage of your wingspan. I kind of make up for it with my speed and agility, but you know, it's tough to play against guys who are 6'5 off of the ATP tour in tennis, and they're hitting drives that are coming at you at 1,000 miles an hour, and they just kind of get to every ball that you hit.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that I'm going to start practicing more. But doubles is definitely my thing.
Do you have like a, like, whenever you play, in terms of, like, you have like a set guy that you play with every time, or?
Yes, right now I'm playing with this guy called Juan Saez, who was 230 in the world in tennis, which is actually pretty impressive. Yeah. And I just got drafted into the All Florida Pro League, in which I'll have a set partner for the entirety of the season.
Cool.
But lately I've been doing tournaments with Juan Saez. He's great. Love his energy, and just and he's a local guy, so I get to train with all the time.
Have you met the guy you're gonna be partnered with yet, or do you at least have do you have an idea who?
Yeah, Drew Holder's a great guy. He's a young kid out of Orlando, and he's been asking me to play tournaments for the past 2 years. We've just never been able to play, just because I'd rather play with people who I can actually train with down here. But I'm really looking forward to that partnership, because he is a very good player.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. So you talked about the league. It was, what's the name of the league that you were drafted in?
All Florida Pro League.
All Florida Pro League. So what is the dynamic behind that league? I know we spoke a little bit beforehand that there's a couple, I guess, different leagues out there right now.
Yeah.
So can you, I guess, in your best way possible, kind of describe the layout of what this pro league looks like right now and the dynamic of that aspect of the game?
So it's very similar to the Major League Pickleball format, which is a team of four players. It consists of two males and two females. And then in the actual match, you'll play a men's match against the other team, a women's match, two mixed matches, so the guy with the girl, and then eventually you'll play a singles tiebreaker, which is great. I love the team format. I think that's awesome. The best. I think it's better than just going to a tournament with somebody and just playing.
That's awesome.
In relation to MLP and the PPA, so the PPA is literally just the league along with the APP. It's kind of like MLB.
Okay.
Or any other league. MLP is the premier team format league. And then the All Florida Pickleball League is the best players out of the state of Florida, which is a heavily populated state with talent down here.
And is there team owners? So there's team owners. So each team that you're a part of in that league has an owner.
Correct.
And then there's a schedule that you guys play, and you play X amount of games, I guess, in a season?
Yeah, so on May 4th is the first event, which will be in Punta Gorda, the Plicoplex. And then there's, I think, 6 or 7 different stops on that tour, one tournament each month. And then there's a cash prize for that one. Obviously not as big as the MLP, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is one of the, I guess, one of the aspects that you... I mean, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but... What is like one of the components about the league pickleball that you enjoy most compared to, you know, what you've seen on the recreational side? Like what is it about that competitive side of the game that you've really, I guess, gravitated to?
I think just the team format itself is great, because you'll have the two guys playing and then you have the women there cheering. Usually for example, I belong to the Lakeland Palms. That's the team. And I'm sure they have their friendships that they have with the team owners. So I'm sure they'll come out and support. It's just a lot more exciting, the team event, than actual a partnership that you just go to and play a tournament. It's a very different dynamic. And everybody that I've spoken to and played with, they agree that that's the best way to go.
Yeah, I think everything is always better like as a community. You know, when you're kind of rattling together as a group for like a collective goal. Like that's one of the things like with golf, like it's you only. And it's like you go out there, you win. Obviously it's bittersweet, but like you have your caddy. I mean, that's, I guess, your only teammate out there. Yeah. But that, outside of that, you don't have anyone. You know, I think the team aspect of like football, baseball, like you see it. You see the hype when like someone hits a crazy good shot, or you know, they hit a good, you know, they hit a huge basket. Like there's that rally aspect. I'm sure you feel that when you're
playing. Oh yeah, even the viewership in pickleball on YouTube or where they play it on ESPN, it's much higher for the major league pickleball events as opposed to the PPA tournaments and the APP.
Really?
It's much bigger.
Actually, speaking of that, where like we wanted to go, like we wanted to watch one of your matches. Like, is it YouTube? Like, where could somebody watch?
Yeah, you could look it up on YouTube. If you type in Mario Figueredo, I'm sure you'll be able to find me there on some of the Duper 22 events. I know there's a couple matches in there from the U.S. Open last year that I played. That's where you would find it.
With the U.S. Open, would you say that's like been so far in all the tournaments that you play, like the coolest one or your favorite one? Or is like, I know you just played in the Miami Open one too. So like, I guess how would that compare, or you know, which one you prefer?
So the U.S. Open is probably the biggest tournament out of the entire year. I think there's, for this one coming up now, there's upwards of 5,000 players registered.
Oh, shit.
So the amount of people that actually go to this venue, it's a lot more than just a regular tournament. Last year when we played it, I think there must have been like 70 people there watching our finals match, all from Miami. And
yeah, that's awesome.
It was just,
how do they filter who plays in these tournaments? So obviously, like if you're part of the team or part of the league, like is there a scouting going on? Like how? Because you just said you were drafted into the how does that all work? Like who's out there? Are they going to the records and looking for somebody? How does that all work?
So off Florida Pickleball, they host tournaments, what's called Duper 20 or 22, which is again the same team formats. And I competed in two of their events in the past 4 months.
Okay.
I did good. I actually got on one of the highlight reels of the Dink Pickleball, which is the biggest Instagram account for pickleball, and got some publicity there. Just people have known me over the years, and you know, I'm a good player, a good teammate, and I'm sure that went into account when they decided to draft me.
Gotcha. So some of it is obviously skill level, but a lot of it is also based off reputation that's out there as well.
Yeah, you don't want to have somebody who's not a good teammate on the team.
Yeah. Okay. It makes sense. So obviously pickleball is really blown up, right? I mean, I don't even remember when it started becoming a thing, but it just feels like the last couple of years, it's really blown up. Where do you see the game going next? Like, obviously, when we were talking about it, there's more funding going on. There's guys like Mahomes that are invested in it, Drew Brees. So there's obviously a lot of hype around it. Where do you see some of this hype going?
I mean, I started in 2019 when there was no... Every tournament was only on YouTube.
And there's barely a...
And nobody was paying it. Yeah, definitely no courts in Miami. I mean, endless possibilities in the U.S. for pickleball. I mean, I see it in the next 5 years. There's going to be courts pretty much on every public park.
Mm-hmm.
The demand for people is ridiculous. You go to any park right now and with 8 courts.
Yeah.
And you have weight lands on every single court. And the more you build it, the more they will come.
Yeah.
The only issue that I see with pickleball on a viewership standpoint is, you know, once you get into that dinking rally, right, that nobody wants to dink, it's really hard if you're watching on television to appreciate the art and the mastery of how hard it is to dink.
Yeah.
And somebody who's never played pickleball or has played tennis their whole lives and sees it on ESPN and they see 4 guys just kind of dinking back and forth, they look at that as something that's very simple, very non-athletic, easy. And it's not.
Yeah.
That's actually one of the hardest things, in my opinion, in the game. So I think that's where pickleball might struggle on the TV.
And do you think it's because the recreational recreational pickleballer doesn't play that type of way, right? Because you see the way that, you know, maybe him and I play,
right,
and the way that you play at the competitive level, it looks very different.
Yes. So it's a much more controlled game.
Right.
Yeah.
So maybe it's almost like one of those things like, people maybe like clinics, like we were talking about, like people getting educated around the game and playing with someone like yourself or and another pro and kind of looking like, hey, no, actually you should be in this position and thinking more. And you hear people talk about it, but it doesn't seem to be like the most fun way, I guess, to play.
Right. I mean, I personally, I can watch a 100-point rally just dinking in the kitchen back and forth.
It's like, it's the equivalent to like, if a, you know, and I hate to use everything golf-wise, but I mean, I do think there's a lot of comparison, you know, like relationship between the two. As a recreational golfer, what's the one club everyone wants to hit? They want to smack their driver 300 yards, right? Like, that's all they care about.
That's true.
But no one wants to be able to hit a putt from 20 feet. I mean, it's cool and it's great. And the more you play, you start to appreciate those things. I think it's the same thing. Everyone wants to hit the cool shot from far away and hit that great, but no one wants to play that dinking game.
I think once you started playing, because here's the thing. If you start playing pickleball, you're going to start playing every single day pretty much.
Yeah.
I think if you start watching it, and like you learn to appreciate those things because you know how hard it is to hit five dinks consistently over the net.
Yeah.
So, but the average person who doesn't see it, they're like, this looks boring, and they might change the channel.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't think many people even know that there's like pro leagues out there right now. Like it's, I mean, the sky's the limit. Obviously people are investing into it, which shows a lot of promise to it. So like you said, I think it's the beginning. One thing I actually wanted to talk about, because it's a common kind of discussion, is the paddles. What the hell is the difference between all these paddles out there?
Oh man. So,
so you see paddles that are like 20, 30 bucks, and then you see other paddles that are like $200, $300.
Yeah.
So when I started playing pickleball, this gritty surface wasn't a thing.
Okay.
So this might be a little worn out, but it was a completely flat face.
Right.
So you pretty much didn't generate any spin off of your shots. And then as pickleball started getting a little more popular in like 2020, 2021, people started putting a little more money into the paddles and the technology. So you'll see a lot of paddles now with like a hole here. That's to make it a little more aerodynamic. So your swing is faster.
Oh, wow.
They change the shapes. Huh. Obviously, the grittier the paddle, the more spin you'll be able to generate on your top spin.
Gotcha.
So it does make a huge difference. So if you're in the market of getting a pickleball paddle, do not buy a $19.99 paddle on Amazon. Spend your money because you're going to end up buying one.
That's what my boy said. He plays pickleball all the time in Orlando. He's like huge into it. And he's weird when it comes to like that. When he picks up like one of these like rec sports, like, he's diehard into it and he wants to be the best at it. So he did that. He went and he spent the $250 on a paddle and he comes here and he's like, yeah, and he's good. He's not bad. He's a lefty too, which is, I guess.
Advantageous.
Yeah. Like he's got crazy spin on the ball. I'm like, who are, like, you would be freaking good at this. Like random ass shit that you're good at.
I know guys that spend about $1,000 every month just on equipment.
What?
Really? Oh yeah.
Every month?
I feel it. Like if I play with a paddle for like 2 weeks, I'll notice that it's not the same as a brand new one. Wait, like, I'll feel the spin.
How many paddles do you have? If you had to, like, guesstimate.
In my cart right now, I probably have, like, 10 paddles.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Just like that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I gotta, honestly, I gotta check my paddles. But my paddles.
No, my paddles are ass. I bought the Amazon pack that comes with two, maybe four paddles. Honestly,
he went with the wrong idea.
Yeah, I'm a bargain shopper. It looks cool. Yeah. Like, yep, those are the ones.
Yeah, that's so. How? I mean, like you said, you have 10 in your car. Like, let's just say, you know, in a month, like how many would you go through? Or do you like, are those like 10? Like they last, like you're using them at different pace that they last
like the
longer,
lifetime of
them? Or is it like, obviously not, I don't know if you're spending $1,000 each month, but like how often do you guys, I guess, have to like re-up on like a paddle?
So when I'm playing a tournament, I usually like to use one that's either less than a week or 2 weeks old, just because I want that spin on the paddle. But a lot of the ones that I have in the car are really just for practice.
Yeah.
I actually have a designated one to hit against the wall. I'll have one to drill with my partner. I'll have one to drill with, or like, to play rec games.
Yeah.
So it's like every paddle has a purpose in my pickleball
like
closet.
Shoe. Yeah. You have your race day shoe, like your training shoe.
Yeah.
Like
your
I'll never play with a brand new paddle in rec play.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. I got a question. Probably. So let's just say me and Andre obviously were weekend warriors. Andre's more athletic than I am. I have experience playing racquetball and so I can hit it pretty well. Could you beat us 2-on-1?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We got to do that. We got to do that. It'd be so fun. Because the reason I'm thinking, because it's like, hypothetically, we can cover more because we'd have two sides.
Yeah.
But like, I'm just envisioning like the type of shots
you'll
that you
find
would hit
every
against.
Gap
like, I'm thinking of the shots that would be coming my way. I'm like, oh, man. We got to do that.
We'll do it.
That
anytime.
I'm down.
Yeah, 2-on-1? Yeah.
That would be fun. That would be fun. So your home course, I guess, is Lifetime that you play at. practice.
That's pretty much where I train every day. I started playing at the Salvation Army in Miami, Florida, which is really where the first ever pickleball courts existed in Miami.
Nice.
I teach there every week, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then I'll go out. I gotta give a shout out to Tropical Park, my people. So
nice.
I play there every week.
Shout out, I played there.
That's where I met this guy, Dan.
Miami Central Park.
Yeah, Miami Central Park. Yeah.
OG. I've that's actually out of all the places.
I feel like that's also the park where like Rec gets the most heated, though.
Come again? I'm sorry.
That I feel like Tropical Park is the park where Rec gets the most heated, because I remember when I used to play like Rec basketball games there. Bro, I mean, maybe it's just a different crowd that goes to the basketball courts, that goes to...
No, they get intense on pickle.
Dude!
Actually, speaking of, I've seen him at Pickle 2 there, actually.
Where? At Tropical Park?
Tropical Park.
Nice.
This guy, first of all, this guy gets on and he's like hackling everybody on the court. He's like, Mark, you just suck. You just missed a shot. I'm like, dude, I haven't missed a shot in 5 minutes. Come on.
What's yours and Vina's record as a collective? Do you guys have that tallied up or not?
As a matter of fact, I don't think we've ever lost together in a game.
Oh,
that's because I take all his shots, of course.
He carries.
No, he's good. He's a powerful player.
What's your biggest strength on the course? Is it your serve? Is it? I don't even know what else. I mean,
speed, agility, like.
Right, but as from a shot standpoint, like, do you have your go-to shot? Like, what's I don't know. What's kind of like your, I guess, approach?
I actually think it's my dinking.
Dinking.
So I have a good
good placement, accuracy.
Good
with
placement. I proud myself in trying to be as a consistent player, and I think it's extremely undervalued in the sport.
Yeah.
But I love the way that I dink. I kind of dictate the pace of the game. I know it's not the sexiest thing, but I know that it works for a lot of people.
Nice
dinking. But if you see all my reels on Instagram, you'll see me hitting the ball 1,000 miles an hour. Yeah, which in mix, so men's and mix is a very different game. And men's, you have to play a more controlled game,
okay,
a lot more patience because the guy's hands are so fast. In mixed, you could be a little more aggressive because usually you'll have a female in front of you if they're both righties on that side.
Strategy, yeah.
So I do try to attack, so I'm not as patient in mixed levels.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? So you spoke about speed. What, like, how does one generate speed in a pickle swing?
Pickle swing?
How would you call that? Pickle swing, right? Like,
yeah.
In your swing?
I wouldn't necessarily focus so much on like the pace that you're hitting the ball. I would focus on the form instead of hitting a flat ball, which is what a lot of people tend to do.
Uh-huh.
The ball will fly out.
Okay.
You want to get under that ball and create some sort of top spin.
I was going to think, the spin is
the
like,
spin.
Like I mean, I'm,
so it's like
I
you're
just,
hitting
I'll
it,
just hit it
kind of like that.
Yeah, you want to hit it like that.
Okay.
Yeah, you would smoke us. You'd smoke us.
No, I wouldn't even be.
You got to see.
No, I wouldn't.
You guys look pretty athletic. You guys look like weekend warriors.
I'm a decent athlete, but I'm not going to win.
Athlete days are behind me, but
maybe if you give me like, I don't know, give me like 2 months where I'm playing often. You guys are playing all the time. Yeah, 2 months seems like fair. What, 2 weeks? That's not going to do it.
I want tonight.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Two months to practice. Like, let me get on a walk. He's practicing every day.
Every day, baby.
I got to give myself a fair chance out here.
If you don't score, you think they score a point?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, because it's also the space. We'd get one slam in for sure.
Like, oh, yeah, you'll get a few.
Yeah.
You'll get eaten up with all the drives just coming at you at 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. I'm going to say, how many returns?
We'd have to start serving to try to get a point.
No.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to do that. That'll be interesting.
You know what would get us over the edge? A little magic mind.
Oh!
Drink a little magic mind. Get our minds right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Me and Andre are going to drink this before we
That's
play
gonna
Mario.
That's going to get us in right before.
And we might get a point in. Shout out magic mind.
That's going to be the power and energy we're going to need to beat Mario on a 2-on-1.
I've heard actually very good things about
it. It is actually awesome. I love it. Yeah. I take it in the mornings usually. Yeah. Dave's more of like a in the podcast kind of guy.
Yeah, I do it every fucking week. Before at night, I'm like, yeah, I'm drinking out of the magic mind. Like,
but I take him in the mornings with a little bit of cafecito.
You can't miss that.
Can't miss a cafecito, bro.
Yeah.
I can't. Are you a big cafecito guy?
Every morning at 6 a.m. First thing I do, my man.
That's my guy. So what do you do? Do you make it yourself? Do you go somewhere and get it?
I have the Cuban
cafetera. You got the cafetera?
Yeah, because my grandma gave it to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I... put a Cafe Butelo in it every morning with the water.
Shout out Butelo. We got to get him a Butelo sponsor. Yeah,
that would be dope.
I don't know who's behind that shit, but we got to make that happen. I want to get a Butelo sponsor.
And I was born in Cuba. Come on now.
I know. Yeah. Which I want to get into that. We'll get into that. But I can't live without my cafecito, bro. It's every morning, and then right after lunch, like around 2 o'clock, is another little espresso.
A la hora que mataron a Lola.
Yeah. It's fucking essential, bro. Essential. So perfect time to kind of pivot. So you were born in Cuba, correct?
Born in Cuba, yes.
Right? When did you come to the United States?
I came to the U.S. in 2002.
2002.
I was 8 years old.
8 years old. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about how, you know, your life in Cuba was at that time and kind of the process of you coming into the States? Obviously, Cuba's been a hot conversation for a long time. Grandparents both, you know, from Cuba as well. It's a super passionate topic for me
for sure.
And I'm sure a lot of people. It's unfortunate, obviously, what's occurred there and still going on there. And it's like, how have we not figured this out kind of thing? But please, I would love to hear your kind of perspective on all of it.
Yeah, so my father was actually a scientist in Cuba. He actually used to work for the government doing blood studies. And one day he was exchanging emails with a buddy, his best friend, who was in Miami at the time. And they were talking, obviously, bad about the Cuban government, as everybody does.
Yep.
And then somebody kind of threw him under the bus. So my dad was kind of ostracized from work. He was never able to work legitimately in Cuba again. And then in 2000 or 2001, the U.S. government came out with a visa for people who were taking out of their jobs for political reasons. And the U.S. government gave us a visa, and we were able to come here.
Oh, wow. So it was almost a blessing in disguise.
It was a blessing that happened.
Obviously, when that happened, you're like, holy shit. But when all was said and done, it was the best thing to happen. I didn't know about that policy, though.
Yeah, that was...
Who brought that?
I think that was Bush in 2000 or 2001.
Okay. Wow.
Life was rough in Cuba. I remember as a young kid, I remember that I couldn't say certain things. I was born in a bad time where there wasn't any meat. Like, we would not eat red meat. That wasn't a thing over there. Yeah, things were just rough.
And have you ever gone back?
I did.
You did?
So I went in 2018 because I have my close cousins that we were pretty much neighbors with.
Right.
I went twice in 2018. I took him to the beach in Varadero, so we had a good time there. But it's sad to see everything that's going on there. The town is torn up.
Yeah. What part of Cuba are you from?
Havana. A little municipality called Marianao.
Okay. Yeah, my grandma, both my grandma and my grandpa were both from Matanza.
Matanza, yeah.
Which,
my grandma's.
Is she from Matanza too? How does that area look?
I have never been to Matanza.
So Matanza is more what, like the countryside?
It's more countryside.
Okay.
Yeah, I pretty much have only been, and I went to Varadero, and then I've spent the entire time that I was there in Havana.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know my grandma passed away, but she was always adamant that she would never step foot back in there.
That's my dad's.
And she loved Cuba.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, that's home. That is what that will forever be home. Right. Obviously, Miami, home for her too. And she's extremely grateful for it. But she was like, the island was beautiful. Everything about that place was amazing. And I think they just always will have that sour taste in their mouth that it was just stripped away from them.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of nostalgia in Cuba.
What's your thoughts on kind of the whole, because you hear people that go on vacation there, right? And I believe it's in Havana where they're going, and there's the 4 or 5 star resorts out there and the people. What's your whole thought on all that?
Well, the 4 or 5 star resorts over there would be like a 3 star hotel for us here.
Right.
Not the nicest, but again, if you go to Cuba, you're not really going for that. You're going for the history and everything that happened back in the day, and obviously beautiful beaches. I personally won't be going back until there's an embassy there again, because I don't think there hasn't been one since 2020.
Yeah.
But it just sucks what they've done to that town.
It does suck. It is a beautiful island, and it's a hop, skip, and a jump away. That's the most frustrating part about it, because goddamn, it would be great, for us to figure that out and be able to have that connection again to that place. Because it's a place that I would love to visit, but like you said, I can't muster.
My dad will never go until it's free.
Which is
my mom went with my grandmother when the Pope was there years ago,
But yeah, my dad's never gone. Because my dad was the first one born here. His brother and his parents obviously born in Cuba. And he's like, I'm never going there until he's free. So, yeah.
I just hope it happens during our lifetime.
Hopefully.
That
would be a dream.
That would be very nice.
Because like, I hear the stories, like, obviously, obviously you lived it, you grew up there.
Yeah.
But like, you hear stories from like back in the day of like what it was before all of it. And it's like, damn, like that's a place I would love to like, you know, go visit and go back to.
Yeah.
Cuba in the 50s was beautiful.
Yeah.
Those pictures are iconic.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
They still have the same cars rolling around with like brand new motors like made up motors.
It's crazy. So who's here from your family? You said your dad.
Well, my dad passed away years ago, but my mom, she lives here in Miami. My sister who came with us, she's an attorney in Tallahassee.
Nice.
And then my grandmother.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Does your grandma still cook up anything?
Oh, I went to the house last night to eat.
What's your go-to meal?
Yeah, what's the go-to? Oof.
Arroz blanco con bistec y papa frita.
Oh.
You have to go with that. You can never go wrong with
that. Can't go wrong.
That's good.
That's awesome.
Who was it? Oh, we were in Puerto Rico. We were in Puerto Rico, remember? So, I mean, you know, Puerto Rican food's great and, you know, all that Caribbean food's great. And he specifically said that he loves going to Miami, and he wasn't saying, like, the woman or the beaches or anything. He goes, bro, I like going to Miami because of the Cuban food. Yeah. And I was like, goddamn, bro. That's when you know, like, that shit. When you got a guy straight from Puerto Rico that's, like, that passionate about Cuban food, that's when you know.
It was the Uber driver.
The Uber driver,
We're not going to know how lucky we are until we live somewhere else.
No.
Yeah.
My uncle, have a good here. So my uncle he was born here. He's basically Cuban. Like, was born He was born in New York and then moved to Miami right when my grandparents had just moved to the States. And he lived in Miami his whole life, but always embraced like the Cuban, you know, the Cuban blood in him. And he moved to Tennessee and he goes, dude, like, I miss Cuban food every day. it's so hard. And he comes back here, and every time he's here, he rolls up with like 7 loaves of Cuban bread.
Oh, yeah.
He gets the pilon, or, you know, the Bustelo de Pilon coffee, or he goes straight to La Careta to go eat. Yeah. And it's like only food he'll eat when he's out here, because it's like, I got to make up for all the lost time when I'm gone.
Yeah.
My sister's back this week with her husband, who's an American. He just loves Cuban food. And she told my grandma, I don't want to eat anything else aside from Cuban food for the entire week that they're here.
I can't see the croquetas, the pasaditos.
What's your favorite Cuban spot in Miami? Your go-to, if it's not Abuela's Cooking.
Tell you what, the most underrated bakery there is in Miami is called Sunset Bakery off of 87th and Sunset Drive.
That's my freaking bakery, bro.
Croquetas there, phenomenal.
Dude, that is gas. That's the one where the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center is.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Shenju, Japanese spot, the buffet. Bro, that's the best one.
That's my afternoon coffee.
Tammy's is good too on Miller, but dude, that's where I go, Sunset. And they make great breakfast sandwiches. I've never had the hot food there. It looks good.
I haven't either. I had the sandwiches,
But dude, that place is good, bro.
Yeah. But
and a good colada. They make a good colada there too.
Yeah. Y las Canarias, I mean, obviously, for las croquetas, you can't go wrong with that.
You can't go wrong there.
Yeah.
That's the spot.
It's crazy. That's everyone's choice when it comes to the croquetas.
By far.
It's crazy. I think that pretty much wraps it up. You got any more questions that you wanted to ask?
No, this is great, man. This is awesome.
Thank you for having me on.
So tell them where they can find you on social media, and then anything that you want to leave before you go. Any advice to any aspiring pickleballers
out there? Any weekend warriors.
Weekend warriors. I always tell my students, the best thing for your game is going to be to hit against the wall. The wall's never going to lose against you. You're never going to beat the wall. So just practice on your technique, your hand speed.
Yes, I will.
I know that if Cirillo's listening to this, I've probably told him 1,000 times and he's finally doing it. But hit against the wall. Drill more than you practice. Take your nutrition seriously and stretch, guys. Stretching has completely changed my game. So, and then you can find me on Instagram at MarioF_PB.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Next time we'll see him. We're gonna do that two on one for sure.
A little two on one. Just give me a couple months.
Maybe. And we'll see you in 2026.
Let's go.
You're going to see a different Andre.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in. We'll see you on the next one. And, yeah, stay tuned for some Pickleball action. Peace.